All right, Rocky Swamp Podcast.
Take number two.
Take number two.
On episode four, the storm.
We got a thunderstorm happening and had a little bit of a power surge that cut everything off for a split second. So we lost the first, I don't know, we'd only got into it for about 5 minutes. So we're going to try to get it rolling the way we had it again. But once again, college football starts this Saturday.
Yep, week zero.
Week zero, Florida versus Miami. I've been calling it the Drama Bowl because if anybody's been following college football, it's those two teams are having a rough go of it right now to start the season off. So
that's a fact.
It'll be interesting to see what these teams look like through the adversity they've been having to deal with in the offseason.
I'm excited. I said it before. The power got knocked out. I said it again. I think we run Miami out of the building.
He's putting it on tape twice.
I believe it.
Yeah, they're running him out of the building. And I could see that being a possibility. I could also see it being a good game.
We'll see. Hopefully not. I mean, I want it to be a good game for us, but not for them.
Yeah. I would like the first game of the season to be a nice nail-biting end of regulation, win it all kind of game.
I hear you.
That'd be nice.
So we were talking Justin Fields is named the starter of Ohio State today. That happened today. Told you about that. Obviously, it didn't get recorded. But I don't think anybody, like we had said before, I don't think anybody was surprised by that with his talent and his abilities coming out of high school. You know,
he was ranked number one for a reason.
He was. And, you know, sitting behind Jake Fromm, that's quite a shadow to be in.
And he's also a dual threat kind of guy. And I feel like maybe Ohio State would have be a better fit anyway over Georgia. Georgia's, you know, they're going to run first.
And then talking about Miami with Tate Martell leaving Ohio State when Justin Fields did come, losing the starting position of quarterback in Miami. Now he's talking about maybe switching positions to wide receiver. And that a surprise to me. Like we'd said before, the power got knocked out. He has a tendency to quit, you know.
Seems like
and when
anyway.
Things well, I mean, track record speaks for itself.
Yeah.
You know, you can judge somebody by their past. Not saying that he can't change. That ain't what I'm saying. It just seems like when things get hard, he has a tendency to quit. So I, in all honesty, expected him to try to transfer again. You know, the transfer portal in college football, I think, is that's a whole nother subject for another time. But I'm not a big fan of it. Granted, I'm not one of these kids trying to make it or live my dream, but, you know, we've often talked about and said, you know, if I'm good enough to go, would I go sit the bench at Florida or would I go start at Wake Forest? I'd go start at Wake Forest because I want to play.
Yeah, that's the point of playing college football is to play. Your ultimate goal is to make it to the NFL and make it a career. And if you're that good, why would you go somewhere and I have this conversation all the time, why would you go somewhere and sit behind somebody for 4 years, including a redshirt year, and, you know, you're only going to get 1 year to showcase what you can do. Unless you're just a freak athlete and you come in and you're starting day one, you know, that doesn't happen all that often.
Not too often.
It's been happening more often now than it has in the past, but
– yeah, with Sunshine, Tua.
Yeah, I mean –
that's an interesting subject, too. It's going to be a topic for next year. Tua, obviously, will probably leave after this year's junior season. I would say so. And then you got Tua's little brother there. But you also got Bear Bryant's grandson.
Yeah.
So that's going to be an interesting thing to see who gets the starting position and if one stays or one leaves because it's hard to say because they're both highly talented. We are going to talk about our NFL all-time team here in just a second. Just go over a couple of headlines. We talked about the Justin Field thing, Tate Martell. The AP poll actually came out today.
No, Associated I didn't see that. Press. They've got a little bit of a different top four. I mean, they flip-flopped Georgia and Oklahoma from the top ten that we talked about a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm.
I thought it was interesting. I didn't realize it. First time Clemson's ever been number one in the AP poll. Starting
the season?
Yes. First time
ever. Yeah, because I think after the year that they won the first championship with Dabo.
Kelly Bryant.
Well.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure Alabama was number one preseason after that.
Right.
So, not totally surprising because Clemson has just now kind of came on the scene the past, you know, 5 or 6 years. So,
yeah.
Not surprising it's the first time.
AB and the helmet issue still going on.
Kind of ridiculous,
in my opinion, in a sense.
Like we said before.
I figured it'd be over by now, to be honest.
Yeah, but, I mean, just put the helmet on. Obviously, you're not going to win what you're trying to do. They're not going to give you a special case because they are serious about head injuries.
Very, very serious,
and they're not going to give you a waiver because you're Antonio Brown. So use this time in preseason camp and practice to get used to the new helmet. Quit sitting out. Mike Mayock.
Yeah, you know, made a statement today.
He's either all in or all out, you know.
Well, my question is, can he not – you know, the helmet – he talks about the view. To me, it seems like the helmet wouldn't restrict your view as much. Could you not change the face mask to where you can get a better view?
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure what it is about the helmet that's causing the view. I don't know if it's the way that the top of it kind of comes down where the where the visor would start, or if it has something to do with the face mask jutting out a little. I'm not sure what the vision part of it is. But you got used to the old helmet when you was wearing it. And I know it's something – it might be like a security blanket for you, but, I mean, with time comes change, and you got to be able to roll with the changes that they make. I mean, so I just think he's just trying to put all eyes on him.
Yeah.
You know, look at me.
Started watching Hard Knocks last night with my dad. Pretty interesting.
See, I hadn't watched any of it.
I thought it was pretty cool how he showed up at camp. In a hot air balloon.
He showed up in a hot air balloon.
Yeah,
like I said, I don't have HBO, so I haven't watched it.
Amazon Fire Stick.
Yeah, Fire Stick. Yeah. I don't have internet at my house, so I can't do none of that stuff.
That was interesting. Did you watch any football yesterday at all? You said the Seahawks game last night. Did you see Paxton Lynch get his head took off?
Now, I didn't watch the game, but I saw the highlights when I was at breakfast this morning at work. And he got lit up.
Yeah, they actually ejected old boy.
Yeah, I mean, they should have.
Yeah.
Now, there's a fine line, and I hate the targeting rule because it takes into account, like, that defender was probably already, from what I see, he was already in the process of trying to make a tackle when the dude slid.
And he's 6'6".
Yeah. So, I don't think he did it on purpose, and that's the problem that I have with the rules because – you're going for a tackle, and then all of a sudden, if they go to slide or, you know, they lower their head just a little bit and you make helmet-to-helmet contact, I mean, you're going to be in the wrong, even though you started out with the greatest of intentions to make a good tackle. But that's just the way –
well, they say he led with
the
crown of his helmet.
Yeah.
It looked that way.
But, I mean, how do you tackle without leading? I mean, I understand, like, I guess the crown, but if you go to make a form tackle, you're going to be leading with your head at some point.
I agree. Yeah.
I mean, that's how you make a good tackle. You're going to make a tackle based on where your head's going forward.
Yeah, my whole life growing up, you know, the coach would say, put your head down and hit somebody.
Yeah, put your helmet in the middle
just hit
of their chest.
Yeah.
But if they're going to duck down, I mean, you're going to hit them right in the head. So, I mean, it's just I don't have a problem with the rule. I understand the safety and stuff, but sometimes it does suck that it's just, you know, they don't do it on purpose, and it's just because – you know, wrong place, wrong time.
I understand. Did you see Jerry Jones' comment on the Zeke Who comment?
I didn't see that either.
Yeah.
I haven't been called up here recently.
He was in an interview, and somebody said, you know, what about Ezekiel Elliott? He said, Zeke Who? And apparently Ezekiel Elliott didn't like that.
Well, of course he didn't.
But, you know, Emmett held out once, and then they didn't win the first two games, and they went ahead and gave him the money, come back in, and made a difference.
And
he'll get his money.
You got to pay the dude.
He's going to get his money.
Although, I saw some highlights of that rookie they got.
Oh, man. Can you imagine both of them in the backfield, though?
Yeah, that's true.
So,
but, I mean, it is preseason, too. I mean, I don't know what string defense that rookie was running against.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, he looked like he could take the load if he needed to. But, I mean, they're going to pay Zeke. The problem is they had those kind of high draft picks. Like, I think it was back-to-back. Or did they get Dak and Zeke in the same draft? I can't remember if they were only a year apart or if it was the same draft, but you've got your two stars and they're up for contracts.
Mm-hmm.
And so now you're trying to finagle how to get both of them signed and happy. And it's just
imagine if they could swallow their pride and both take, say, you know, take $35 million instead of 40, for example, what they could accomplish together. It's just sad that
and how much money it's going to free up to get you some playmakers on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, it's insane.
But we had that conversation before about
just a couple things that we hadn't discussed, but just some headlines there. I was going to say, Hard Knocks training camp with the Oakland Raiders, very good. Like I said, started watching it last night with my dad. Also been watching it's a series called Making the Browns, about the Cleveland Browns and Freddie Kitchens. It starts from when Freddie Kitchens gets hired.
Takes over, yeah.
As the head coach, and a pretty interesting little series. I think if you're football nerds like us and you like that kind of stuff.
I love behind-the-scenes stuff like that.
Yeah.
And so I'm super excited that HBO is going to be coming out with a series based around some college teams.
Yes.
They got Alabama and I think Penn State, yep, possibly. I can't remember who the other two were that I saw that were going to be part of it. But I love behind-the-scenes. I love seeing how these coaches coach these players, how to get the most out of them when they don't feel like they can get – any better.
I had talked to some guys at work, and they're big college football guys like us, and this past season of All or Nothing was the Carolina Panthers.
Right.
Last year was Michigan, Michigan Wolverines.
Yeah.
Not a Jim Harbaugh guy. Never have been. You can go back and listen. I'm not a Harbaugh guy. However, the All or Nothing with Jim Harbaugh and the way those players treat him, or he treats those players, I gained a little bit of respect for the guy. I'm not saying he's a bad guy, it's just I'm not a fan. But before every game, he makes it a point, he goes to each one of their individually, not as a group, individually, gives them a hug and tells them he loves them. And those guys say, no matter what happens at the end of the day, we'd run through a wall for Coach Harbaugh. And that goes a long way. And that's the stuff that you don't normally see, things that you don't know about. And I think it's interesting because, of course, I'm a football nerd.
I love just seeing how they study the game. Luke Kuechly in the film room, and he's just dissecting every single play that the team that he's facing has done all year, and memorizing the formations, and knowing that if they go into motion on this one play, it could be this way or that way, and he makes a split-second decision right before the ball snap. Hey, it's coming over here. And it's just because he understands how their formations are and what they do pre-snap. And you got to be super intelligent to do that, to know everything. Because you got to think about that offensive playbook. They've probably got at least 6+ sets that they're in, whether it be an I formation, 4 wide receiver, trips right, all these different formations. And then out of each one of those formations, they've probably got 20, 30 plays they can run.
Yeah, easy.
So
and him knowing those.
And him knowing all that stuff just based off the formation and what they're doing pre-snap, and he can just call the play out. And you hear the offensive guys that go up against Luke Kuechly all the time, that's what they say. He's calling our play out before we even run it. He knows exactly what it is.
And another thing about studying film, again, not a Peyton Manning fan because he was at University of Tennessee, no offense, but him and Jeff Saturday, he could call the audibles, set up the plays for the wide receivers or the running backs. And Jeff Saturday's doing just as much at center, calling the blocking schemes, knowing what's coming, knowing if the blitz is coming, who's blitzing, who's the weak, who's the might. He knows all that. And I think it showed for many years those two, the way they studied film, was able to dissect so many great defenses. And, there's something to be said about a gunslinger like Brett Favre, who can go out and just, I thought it was funny the link you had sent me about him talking about the diamond nickel.
Yeah.
Not knowing the difference of that until like his fourth or fifth year in the NFL. I thought that was interesting.
How are you such a good quarterback and you don't know the difference between a diamond and a nickel in the nickel package?
It's the gunslinger. I'm gonna put it where it needs to be.
Yeah, he doesn't care who's out there. It doesn't matter to him if it's a linebacker or a cornerback. I think that's awesome,
It is, but
if y'all get a chance to look that up, it's Brett Favre talking about how he learned what the nickel defense was. It's hilarious.
It is. It's pretty funny.
Okay. So, we're going to take a quick break real quick, get our minds right for this NFL team, and we'll be back. All right, we're back. Now, what we're getting ready to do is we had this idea, and I'm sure it's been done before, but we've never done it. with each other. That sounded really bad, but.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, wow.
All
that,
right.
That took a left turn really We've quick.
Been accused of a lot.
Yeah.
Don't
but.
Worry, I don't know how it is, man. Golly.
We thought about taking all-time greats and making a team, each one of us, you know, who we thought, if we were coaching a team or we were an NFL owner, who we would want at quarterback, who we'd want at running back, and so forth. So on and so forth.
Now, this is not take away from me. It was take away the years, the different genre, the different years of football, the different time frames of football. I didn't necessarily look at statistics. I'm not going to lie. I built this team as a team that I built it with my heart and my mind, I guess.
I built it with my heart, but I built it as a team that I would have loved to see get together and play.
Yeah, I think this team that I have built would run roughshod over everybody.
But I feel like me and you are going to have very similar picks.
We'll see.
I'm more interested to see who we've got different than we've got the same, because, like I said, I feel like we'll have more that are similar than different. And also, for the defense, we had to decide whether we wanted a 3-4 or a 4-3.
Mm.
So, I personally went 3-4 because I felt like I had more linebackers.
There's something different.
Oh, really? Nice. I felt like there was more linebackers to pick from than they were defense.
I'm old-fashioned. The 4-3 to me is just a – but anyway, we did quarterbacks on all the different positions. O-line, we picked a not necessarily individual, an O-line group. We did do a kicker. We did a returner. And we did a coach.
We did a head coach who we would hire if we had a franchise and we could bring anybody back from the dead or back out of retirement in their prime to play for our team.
All right. So I guess with that being said –
we'll just go position by position, and we'll say who we got.
I think if we're going to start building a team, you got to start with a coach.
Start with a coach, okay.
All right.
Who you calling?
Bill Belichick.
Bill Belichick. I can see.
Greatest NFL coach of all time.
And I can agree with that, for the simple fact that no matter who he loses on his team,
mm-hmm.
no matter what kind of adversity, he always gets those guys to respond, and he gets those guys that aren't superstars to respond.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody goes down, the next person is ready and making just as much of an impact as the guy that went down.
Yes.
His system is great.
I agree.
And so I can totally see that. And I was going to pick Bill Belichick, but I went somewhere else.
Vince Lombardi.
No, I didn't go Vince Lombardi, although that's very good too, because he's a...
Let's see. Let me guess. Jimmy Johnson?
No.
Okay, go ahead.
The creator of the West Coast offense, Bill Walsh.
Bill Walsh.
Coach, longtime coach for the San Francisco 49ers. If you watch NFL now, Bill Walsh, his fingerprints are all over the NFL. He was the first one to really use the running backs out of the backfield, catching balls out of the backfield. I mean,
it trickles all the way down into college and high school.
I mean, Bill Walsh is a genius when it comes to offensive football.
I think what Belichick did was took what Walsh did and amped it up.
Yeah.
My opinion.
Yeah, I can see that. So. But I like Bill Walsh.
Bill Walsh, Bill Belichick. All right.
Battle of the Bills.
The Battle of the Bills. All right. There you go. Quarterback. I will say, my cousin usually listens to this podcast. My cousin Chris in Georgia. When he won his fourth Super Bowl, my cousin said he's the greatest quarterback to ever play the game. I disagreed. Now I agree. I'm going with Tom Brady.
I'm also going with Tom Brady.
Yeah, it's unanimous.
Yeah.
People are going to be so mad.
I almost went Joe Montana because
I did too.
He never lost a Super Bowl, whatever.
That's my backup. I mean,
but
backup.
Look at who Joe Montana had on his teams.
Oh, yeah.
And look at who... Minus well, the year that they had Randy Moss, they lost.
They were undefeated till the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was pulling for them hardcore too because I wanted to see that.
I wanted
happen.
To see perfection because well, you hate the 72 Dolphins.
Well, that
you
but
hate hearing about the 72
Dolphins. You just
never
see perfection in this day and age.
Exactly, it would have been something spectacular to talk about when we were old. Hey, I remember watching that.
And this is off subject, and we'll get right back to it, not trying to make it go any longer, but I think we've talked about it before. We're very blessed in the age that we grew up in. And people are, you know, everybody talks about their age, but I think that we've got to see two of the greatest quarterbacks of all time play the game in Tom Brady and Peyton Manning. Mm-hmm. And then going on back, I can still remember Joe Montana.
Oh, yeah.
I can remember Marino. I can remember Favre. And I'm sure I'm leaving people out. But I think we're very fortunate as far as being football fans the way we are to be able to have been able to watch them play.
And the thing about Tom Brady is you're not going to – in my opinion, you're not going to see him fall off and have a couple of years like Joe Montana did in Kansas City and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, kind of – His last few years, you're just like, God, that dude was terrible. But Tom Brady, I mean, he's clutch.
I agree. Wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
I mean, if you got a minute left, minute and a half, 2 minutes,
mm-hmm.
you got to go 90 yards for the Super Bowl, I'm picking Tom all the time.
I'm going Tom Brady.
Every day.
Because, like I said, look at who he had on his team, who he was throwing to. He had, like, David Patton. And, I mean, yeah, there was a couple of years there where he had some really good wide receivers. He had some Wes Welker and some Randy Moss and all that.
He had
but
Wes
those
Welker.
First couple of Super Bowls, he didn't have anybody.
He made Wes Welker.
True.
Am I wrong?
No.
Julian Edelman. Am I wrong? Okay, there's a Clemson guy in Oakland right now by the name of Hunter Renfrow.
Yep.
If it hadn't been for Bill Belichick, if it hadn't been for Tom Brady and those guys, this kid doesn't get a chance in the NFL.
Yeah.
Right?
That's true because they have utilized the undersized, fast guys.
Yes.
For sure. I mean,
so Tom Brady.
Tom Brady. Okay. Now, did you go two running backs or did you go running back fullback?
I'm still in the air. I ain't decided yet.
I went two running backs.
All right. Give me your first one.
My first one, obviously, Barry Sanders.
I also went Barry Sanders.
Barry Sanders.
If he'd have had an O-line.
If he had an O-line, you put Barry Sanders in Dallas with that Dallas O-line, we're not even. Emmitt Smith is just nobody's talking about him. He's setting records that nobody's going to break because look what he did in Detroit. You put him behind a good O-line and he's not having to run for his life. I mean, the dude was nasty. If you've never seen Barry Sanders highlights, watch him.
Oh, man, he's so elusive.
Yeah, and I'll take that all day long. I would rather somebody make you miss
mm-hmm.
than somebody that's going to run you over because 9 times out of 10, you put the shoulder down, you're getting tackled because you're going to trip up over top of the body and stuff. But that guy, if you make him miss, you're gone.
Okay, well, let me ask you this. Now, the team, I built the team as a team that would play, that would win, not just people who I think deserve to be there. So is this a team judged on how they would win and how they would play together? Is that's what we're doing, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, so with that being said, we've done quarterback, we've done one running back. My O-line, we'll go ahead and go to O-line real quick so it explains what's happening, was the Great Wall of Dallas from like 89 to 98, 99, 2000. Maybe the greatest O-line to ever play the game, my opinion. But that's the O-line group I picked.
The other one that I was thinking of would be the Washington Redskins, the Hog Mollies, but I didn't go with them. I went specifically with the 1995 Dallas Cowboy offensive line that had Nate Newton and Larry Allen. And
Larry Allen, I mean, that says it all, right?
Yeah, so that was my offensive line that Tom Brady's going to be protected by and Barry Sanders.
Mm-hmm.
And my second running back, Bo Jackson, will be running.
I didn't think of Bo.
You don't know Bo.
I didn't know Bo. I didn't think of Bo.
Barry Sanders and Bo Jackson is a running back tandem that is just nasty.
Okay. I'm going to put a fullback in.
You're going to put a fullback
in? Yeah, I'm going to play.
And there's only one fullback you can choose.
That's Mike Allstott.
Mike Allstott.
To me, with Tom Brady's knowledge, being able to check the coverage,
mm-hmm.
know what's coming, the O-line of the Dallas Cowboys in the 90s. Mike Allstott leading the way for Barry Sanders. Barry don't have to make the first guy miss because the offensive line is going to take care of that. Allstott's going to take care of the second guy, possibly the third. Barry's got to make one guy miss, and he's going to make somebody miss.
Oh, yeah.
It's a touchdown every time.
Yeah.
So far I got Tom Brady, Barry Sanders, Mike Allstott, and the Dallas O-line. And you got Bo.
And I've got Bo because I feel like with the 95 Dallas Cowboys, I don't need a fullback.
That's just my
personal opinion.
I'm just saying.
But Mike Allstott's also going to get you touchdowns.
Easy.
I mean, his stat line after every game was 4 carries for 4 yards for 4 touchdowns.
Yes.
I mean, if it was inside the 5-yard line, you're getting a touchdown.
Imagine having him in fantasy football back in the day.
Yes, my Lord.
Yes. Okay. Wide receivers.
You had to pick 2 wide receivers.
Yep.
Okay. So, my first one, I went greatest possession receiver and greatest receiver of all time, Jerry Rice. He's gonna cut across the middle. He's gonna exploit those zone defenses. Perfect guy.
I agree wholeheartedly. I picked Jerry first.
Jerry Rice, always first.
Yes.
Second, I went with somebody that's gonna take the top off the defense and just run the nastiest fly route you've ever seen. Randy Moss.
Wow, me too.
Right.
I mean, it's wrote down right there.
I mean,
Jerry Rice, Randy Moss.
Perfection is, I mean, those
two
guys.
You got Moss, bro.
Yeah, I mean, you throw the ball up, he's coming down with it.
Yeah, you can't double coverage both of them.
No.
It's impossible.
Yeah, I don't care. Well, I don't know. I got some pretty good cornerbacks.
Well, I had it too. I'm just saying, man. This is Jerry Rice, bro.
Yeah, you're just going to have to let him get his yards.
And obviously what Tom Brady and Randy Moss did in that 1 year.
Yeah.
My goodness.
They both set NFL records.
Yeah.
So, I mean – you just throw it up, Randy Moss is coming down with it. And Jerry Rice, he's just going to cut across the middle, and you're going to hit him in stride every time. And then he's going to make somebody miss, and them long legs are going to take off.
I loved watching, you know, Randy in New England. Man, I loved it when it was him and Chris Carter and Culpepper in Minnesota.
Yeah.
Oh, that was wicked. So, Jerry Rice, Randy Moss, those are the same. Tight end.
Tight end, there's only one you can say, Tony Gonzalez.
Right.
See, I mean, I knew it was going to probably be like this where we were picking the same. I mean, there's other guys that are deserving of it. You got, you know, Jason Witten. And
I don't think that's the same category.
You got Mr. Sharp.
He is good. Was.
But it's not Tony Gonzalez.
Kellen Winslow. Not Kellen Winslow Jr. Yeah, Kellen Winslow.
Who was the one that played for the Chargers for so long?
Antonio Gates.
Antonio Gates.
And he was awesome.
I mean, he could be up there, too. But I'm going with Tony Gonzalez, even though
– most touchdowns any tight end.
Yeah, even though he, you know, wears makeup when he's not on TV. I don't know what that's all about. He was doing it before it was –
he's,
you know,
GQ,
cool.
Bro.
Yeah.
He's got the perfect hair.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, Tony Gonzalez, tight end, no problem.
So our offense is set.
Our offense is set. And honestly, the only difference we had was Bo Jackson.
Bo Jackson, Mike Allstock, both beasts. Off subject, Bo Jackson – had he had not gotten injured, I believe in my heart, double Hall of Famer, baseball and football.
Oh yeah,
easy.
Yeah, he's gonna run you over for a touchdown, catch a plane, and then go jack a home run and throw you out from left field.
I think so.
Yeah, it's all in the same day.
You ever watched the 30 for 30 on that?
Yeah.
Auburn when they had Charles Barkley on the basketball team, but then they had Bo and Frank Thomas.
Yeah.
And Bo was leadoff.
Yeah.
Leadoff. Hit a bunt down the first base line and still outran it. That's crazy.
Bo was
injury free. Bo was double Hall of Famer,
and that sucks because he played in an era where, if he would have played now, they would have caught that injury and would have fixed it. It had something to do with his hip in the blood vessels and arteries and
ripped
stuff.
Ripped it all to pieces.
Yeah, so
just a
and they didn't know at the time that it had caused that much damage because they didn't have the medical knowledge that they have now. But
yeah, Bo was the man, son.
I mean, but, just look up him. You know,
truck sticking people.
Yeah, no, I mean, the throwing people out at home from the left field wall.
Oh, yeah.
Like, not even bouncing, like in the air. And then when he struck out and broke the bat over his knee.
Let's shout out to Zach Singleton breaking the bat over the knee.
Yeah.
All right. Defensive end. I'll go first.
Okay.
I hurt my heart, but I had to put him in there. Reggie White.
He's
one of yours?
He's also one of mine. I mean, what can you say about Reggie White that hasn't been said already?
Amazing. He was an amazing football player. He was an amazing man.
Yeah.
He's a good person, man.
Yeah.
And, but
Rivalry aside,
you know, respect is respect. Reggie White was nasty. I mean, can you imagine coming off the end? You know, him coming down. Oh, man.
The Minister of Defense.
Oh, wow. I mean, that says it all, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he had football, and he had Jesus. What else do you need in this world? You know what I'm saying? He had it all. All right. My other defensive end, this is going to probably be different. May not. Bruce Smith.
Longtime Buffalo Bill.
He was nasty.
Very good choice. I actually was debating on putting him in there or not. But I went another route. I went, Mr. Big Gap in My Teeth, Michael Strahan.
Really?
Dude, he was the sack leader.
Yeah.
Even though the last one was kind of BS because Brett Favre fell down and let him have it. I understand. But Michael Strahan, in those years that he played, was unstoppable.
I agree.
So, I mean, I feel like you got him and Reggie White coming off the end. I mean.
I still think Bruce. I picked him. So, I think Bruce. You know, it come down to him. I actually had three. It was Bruce Smith. Howie Long was one of the others.
Mm-hmm.
Howie was not as much of a sacker as he was a run stopper on the end.
Right, yeah.
He was always
He's going to stuff
you. No, you wasn't going to get outside.
Yeah.
But, you know, Bruce Smith to me is just the epitome of a defensive end.
See, I went 3-4 so that my defensive ends would be pass rushers. I wouldn't have to worry about stuffing the run. My linebackers are going to do all the work.
Okay. So you got one defensive tackle.
I've got one I got a nose tackle.
Who is it?
Greatest nose tackle of all time, Vince Wilfork.
Really?
Yes.
Vince Wilfork?
He is nasty in the middle.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, who was you going to say?
I got two defensive tackles, and he's not either one of them.
Well, that's because he doesn't play in a 4-3 system.
That's true.
But if you need space eat up in a 3-4 system, Vince Wilfork is the man. That's why. I mean.
Over refrigerator?
Yes.
Over Perry?
Yes.
No.
Because.
No.
Yeah.
No.
You just said Belichick is the man.
Well, I mean, yeah.
He had Vince Wilfork at the point of attack for all those years. Vince Wilfork is my nose tackle.
You could have said Terrence Cody and it had been the same.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, Mount Cody. I mean, he took up space.
But
Vince Wilfork's a good pick. I'm just picking.
Vince Wilfork is more athletic than a Terrence Cody.
I understand.
I mean.
I still would have chose Perry.
Nah.
But I still didn't choose him for a defensive tackle.
Yeah. So you got two defensive tackles.
I do.
Who you got?
To me, the greatest defensive tackle of all time. Mean Joe Green.
Yeah.
Hands down. I mean, people were scared of that guy, dude. When you're part of a defensive line called the Steel Curtain, that's something to be said. You know, people can say what they want to. Terry Bradshaw is good. Don't get me wrong. He didn't win them Super Bowls.
No, that defense was
nasty. That defense was unbelievable. You know, it's
if it wasn't for Lynn Swann making all those acrobatic catches.
Yeah, it made Terry look so good.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, come on, dude. You were the backup quarterback to Phil Robertson on Duck Dynasty at Louisiana Tech.
Yeah.
And you want to be an elite quarterback. It's just not the same. I know it's going to make a lot of people mad. Don't really care. My other defensive tackle is John Randall.
Long-time Viking.
137 sacks from the interior.
Yeah,
let that sink in.
Yeah, that's good.
137 sacks from the interior. That's beating a center. That's beating a guard. And most of the time, a fullback or a running back, and he's on the interior.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's going straight up.
Yep.
Plus, John Randall was a freak.
Yeah, interior linemen don't get as many sacks as the defensive ends.
Nowhere
so
near.
To be able to rack up that many is definitely
that's
good.
That's impressive.
But see, I couldn't pick Randall or Mean Joe Green or anything like that because I need a big guy in the middle.
I understand.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just saying this is
but I think my linebackers make up for it.
And they might. We'll see. They're probably going to be some of the same.
Yeah,
I've got
four linebackers and Kevin has three.
So I got Reggie White and Bruce Smith, the defensive end, and Mean Joe Green and John Randall.
Mm-hmm.
You had Vince Wilfork, Reggie White, and who was the other one? Who's your other
Michael
defensive
Strahan.
Michael Strahan. The other defensive end live with Michael and Kelly. Anyway. Middle linebacker, you got two.
I've got two inside linebackers.
I got one. I'll just go first since I got one.
Yes, since you got one.
Ray Lewis.
Ray Lewis.
Hands down.
Yeah, I mean, not just for the simple fact that he is nasty as a player, but I don't play football, and watching him do his thing, getting the team amped up.
Oh, man.
I was doing cartwheels. I was ready to go.
Yeah, I
know. So you need somebody like that, that spark, that guy that's going to get everybody up. And, I mean, if you're on a team with Ray Lewis and you don't want to go smack somebody in the mouth.
Something wrong with you.
There's definitely something wrong
Ray
with
Lewis
you.
Ray Lewis was the man. Yeah, I'm guessing you have Ray Lewis as
I have Ray Lewis as one of my inside linebackers.
Who's your other?
My other inside linebacker is LT.
Well – okay, I got you. LT played inside, outside.
Mm-hmm.
So
So
he could do either one.
He could.
So I moved him to the inside because okay. I've got two outside guys.
Okay.
Well, with that because being, with LT, he's gonna be able to.
With that being said, LT is one of my outside linebackers.
Right.
So you got Ray Lewis.
You're playing him on the outside. I'm playing him on the inside.
It's pretty formidable in the middle of that 3-4 there. You got mm-hmm. Ben Twelfork in the middle, then coming up, and you got Ray Lewis and Lawrence Taylor. I mean, who do you want to get hit by?
Neither one.
But
because they will both. Well, one's going to break your leg.
That's fact.
But yeah, so I've got LT on the inside.
All right. Who's your outside?
My two outside linebackers. I have Junior Seau, which he always got misconstrued as a middle linebacker, and the NFL actually listed him as a middle linebacker, but he was actually a weak side linebacker, mm-hmm. and they would stack the set, which would put him in the middle.
Yes.
So I've got Junior Seau as an outside linebacker,
mm-hmm.
and my other outside linebacker is Kevin Green.
I almost picked Kevin
Green. I mean, Kevin Green's top five sacks all time. Easy. So my linebacking core is from left to right, you got Junior Seau, Lawrence Taylor, Ray Lewis, and Kevin Green. Behind Michael Strahan, Vince Wilfork, and Reggie White.
That's nasty.
Yeah, that's a pretty good front seven.
Mm-hmm. I got my other outside linebacker. He's in a toss-up, but Derek Brooks.
Derek Brooks, that's a good choice.
Oh, it's a great choice. He'd seem good.
Tampa Bay.
I mean, he was nasty.
He was nasty.
You know, Derek Brooks, I think, is one of the best outside linebackers of all time. Like I said, I chose him in my heart. So I got Ray Lewis in the middle, Derek Brooks and Lawrence Taylor on the outside.
Still a pretty good
two very formidable. Yeah, I think they're both stacked pretty heavy. Cornerback, probably going to be the same on at least one.
Probably, I would say so. My first cornerback is Deion Sanders. You have to put
him. Who else?
No, I mean, he didn't like to tackle, but what he made up for in running out of bounds and trying to he made up for that with all the interceptions and being a shutdown corner. I mean, he is a true shutdown corner.
You didn't throw on Deion.
No, you didn't throw on him. Now, if you caught and went around the edge,
you'd have a chance.
Yeah, because he's not gonna go head to head with you.
Well, my safety's to pick that up.
Yeah, he's gonna try to run you out of bounds if he's not able to make the play or you're not throwing his direction.
I'd love to have seen Deion and Randy Moss.
Oh yeah,
one on one.
Yeah,
that would have been incredible.
Which I don't know if they ever played against each other because I know Deion played there in his later years. But I'm if talking you're talking about prime. In your prime, yeah, I mean, man. My Lord, those are true 50-50 balls there.
Oh, yeah, easy. So we both got Deion.
We both got Deion.
Who's your second?
My other cornerback, Rod Woodson.
It's a good pick.
I like Rod Woodson.
Rod Woodson was
very
good.
Physical. Now, he wasn't scared to hit.
No, he wasn't.
So I think that's a good mix on the cornerback.
Mm-hmm. My cornerback, other cornerback, is Mel Blount.
Very good pick.
He would take your head off.
Yeah. Old school.
Old school. Now, I'm talking in his prime.
Yeah. You know, I'd
say we're not going into this whole, oh, they're faster now than it was back in. Mel Blount was a beast.
Yeah. And we're not, we're not picking based off of stats. We're not mm-hmm. going to sit here and, you know, throw out a bunch of stats for you. Oh, this guy had this many interceptions and blah. But Mel Blount probably was one of the first shutdown corners.
I agree.
For that time period, you know, like you didn't go his way. You didn't run his way.
No, you did not run his way.
You didn't do anything his way.
If he's coming off corner blitz, man, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
Especially if it's blindside.
Blindside.
You're dead.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
Done.
All right. Free safety. Probably going to be the same.
Well, I didn't necessarily go free safety, strong safety. I just went with two safeties.
Okay.
So, obviously, my first choice – Ed Reed.
Ed Reed.
Has to be Ed Reed.
Has to be.
So
Hall of Fame.
The way I did my safeties was I got the best cover safety,
mm-hmm.
which is Ed Reed.
I agree.
And I've got the best run stop safety.
Me too. I think.
You think.
I think it's the best run stop safety.
Now, I went back and forth with this.
We both got Ed Reed.
Yeah, we both have Ed Reed. I went back and forth with this. And I just feel like I couldn't put the one in because he hadn't played enough, and that was Sean Taylor. So I put Ronnie Lott in.
Oh, wow.
Ronnie Lott will take your head off.
Ronnie Lott's a good pick.
Ronnie Lott is nasty.
I got Polamalu.
I thought about Paul. Dude, the safety was – there's so many good safeties.
I know. But to me, just – Polamalu was a different animal to me. And it probably didn't help. I watched a bunch of his highlights right before I said
this nasty list. The best one is when he jumps over the line.
And that happens all the time.
Yeah.
It happens so much. And
Polamalu would light you up, too.
Hard-nosed.
Mm-hmm.
Hard-nosed.
Great hair.
Oh, yeah. I agree.
Going back to the cornerbacks real quick, somebody at work today mentioned somebody that I thought of, but I didn't put him in there, Champ Bailey. Would have been a great pick.
He was.
I still like Rod Woodson.
I think Rob would have been better than Champ Bailey, yeah.
But anyway, yeah, so you've got Polamalu and I had Ronnie Lott.
Still formidable.
Both hard-nosed, light-you-up safety. Mm-hmm. So we got the cover safety and we got the run-stop safety.
Yes.
So, yeah, I think that's good.
Who's your returner?
My returner, there's only one.
Uh-huh.
Devin Hester.
Yeah, that's who I picked.
You picked Devin Hester? I mean, who else are you going to put back there? Deion, that's about the only other person to
me. Well, I almost picked Deion, but I built this team as they were playing, and I wouldn't risk Deion back there if he is my corner. Yeah. I wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
Devin Hester is definitely nasty.
That's how he made his name.
Oh, yeah.
Was a returner. I mean, just look at the highlights.
And speak for itself.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure he's got NFL records for being a returner.
Yeah.
But, yeah, same there. We're probably going to have the same kicker, too.
Vinatieri. Clutch.
I mean, how many AFC Championship games and Super Bowls did that man win?
Oh, he put one right through our heart.
Yeah.
Thank you, John Casey. Glad I didn't pick you, buddy.
Yeah. Kick it out of bounds on us. Vinatieri, I mean. There's some other really good kickers out there that you could put in there.
Yeah.
You know.
I think that when you talk about kickers, first one that's going to pop up is Adam Vinatieri.
It has to.
And so you had to put him in.
And we're talking like in his prime. Like, yeah, he missed a bunch of kicks there in the later part of his career. But, I mean, whatever. But when he was with the Patriots and it was, you know, 1 second left on the clock and you needed him to nail a 53-yard field goal, he's going to nail it every time.
I agree.
Yeah, so that's
hands down
easy pick.
Which team wins? I don't know.
Well,
it'd
I
be
mean,
interesting.
Honestly,
a lot of it's the same.
A lot of it's the same, and I figured that's the way it would go because, well, for one, we grew up in the same era, watching the same types of players, and really the only difference we had was what safety, cornerback,
and then a 4-3-3-4.
And yeah, I mean that was really the only difference.
I mean, you added Junior Seau.
Yeah. God. Junior Seau was nasty.
Yeah, it was. Here's a question. Since we picked the teams now that we haven't talked about, and I honestly just thought of it. So this is your team. You're the owner. You've built this team. You got your coach. You got Bill Belichick, everything. What city would you put your team in?
I guess from a revenue point, you'd have to put it in, you know, New York or Los Angeles. One of the big cities, if you're wanting revenue, but not, I feel like Los Angeles, and they have that problem now.
It's oversaturated.
Not just that it's oversaturated, it's full of people that really probably don't really care too much about football. If you watch the Rams home games, you know, it's not as full as you would think it would be for an NFL team, especially, it might change this year with them going to the Super Bowl and everything, but you watch. You figure when they move back to Los Angeles that there would be tons of people there because, you know, they finally came back to Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. Everybody would be excited about it. But then you watch the footage of the games that first year when they were playing in the Coliseum and there's nobody there.
Nobody.
Which is surprising to me. You figured they would have been welcome. But Los Angeles is one of those cities where it's such a happening place that some people would rather go do other things than go sit in the hot sun and watch football.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they'd rather be on the beach. You know, there's a lot of celebrities. They're doing their own thing. So I probably wouldn't go in Los Angeles. New York's hard because the media's tough on you. The fans are tough. I don't know. That's tough. I don't know where I'd put it. You don't want to put it, you know, in a small market city because you're not going to get –
Now, taking away that there's any teams in this city that you choose to go to, obviously there are teams, but your team's going to be the first team there.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
For me, it comes down to two, and it's just because of the fans, honestly. One is Boston.
Yeah.
Not necessarily Foxborough, but Boston.
Actual Boston,
and
yeah.
Boston. And then Philly. Fans in Philly are crazy.
They are crazy. They throw batteries at Santa Claus.
Yeah.
I would go Boston. I didn't even think about Boston.
Great sports town.
Oh, yeah. It's title town.
Yeah.
I would definitely go Boston probably.
AFC or NFC? I'm going NFC. I'm an NFC guy.
Yeah. Are we talking like we're putting the team in there right now?
Yes.
I'm going AFC. It's weaker than the NFC. Yeah.
True.
In my opinion. I feel like the NFC is more wide open than the AFC. And maybe that is because the teams are bad in the NFC. I don't know. I feel like the AFC is weaker than the NFC, though.
You feel like the AFC is weaker than the NFC right now?
Yeah.
With the Patriots, the Chiefs, the Chargers.
Well, see, the Chargers are having some injury problems.
Well, and Melvin Gordon.
Yeah, and the Browns, you still don't know if they're going to be that good. But the NFC, I mean, you got the Saints, you got the Falcons, you got hopefully the Panthers, you got the Cowboys maybe if they get their stuff together. I just feel like it's a tougher. You got the Eagles,
mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes the Giants.
Sometimes.
Probably not this year. But I just feel like the NFC is a tougher conference. I don't know.
I can see that.
Yeah. I just feel like it's like more even possibly. It might not even mean that they're that it's better. It's they're more evenly matched than the teams in the AFC.
Yeah.
I mean, look at the Patriots. They play the Dolphins and, you know, the Jets. I mean, but then you look like at the Panthers, and they got to play the Saints and the Falcons. And I just feel like the NFC is more evenly matched, so I would go to the AFC because I felt like I would have more of a chance to make it to the championship game every year.
Yeah. May only have to beat Kansas City or Boston. May not have to beat both.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I said Boston.
Yeah, you said
England.
Boston. New England.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's understandable there. So, now, again, this is our picks. Feel free to share your picks, and we'll talk about them.
Yeah, it's not stat-based or anything like that. It was just sitting down and picking from the people that we used to love to watch play or love the highlights. Maybe it was somebody that we didn't get a chance to see growing up, but we were familiar with.
NFL Films.
Yeah, NFL Films. Thank you, Steve Sabol.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I went with it.
Me too.
The team that I wish I could have watched play.
All right. So.
We've probably droned on long enough about it.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. So.
Going to the, hopefully, College Football Hall of Fame.
Yeah, we're going to go to the College Football Hall of Fame this week.
Once the Braves play.
Watching the Braves. Who are they playing?
Marlins, I think.
The Marlins, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
It should be the series opener because they just closed the series with the Dodgers
mm-hmm.
last night.
Mm-hmm.
So, it should be fun. I've never been to a actual MLB game. I've been to plenty, you know, triple A teams and games. I used to go to the Crawdad games all the time. Went and watched the Charlotte Knights a couple years ago. Baseball is one of them things that I don't like to watch it on TV, but I enjoy being at the actual park.
I agree.
You know, and watching it, for some reason, it's more exciting. Even though it's not any faster, I think it's just the atmosphere.
It is. It's better.
So, I mean, I used to play baseball, and I can't watch it. I'd rather watch golf. Speaking of which, not a big Justin Thomas fan, but he won. He's killing it. So
Tiger didn't make the cut.
No, Tiger made the cut.
Not for the next one.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah, you had to be in the top 30.
Him, Phil, somebody else, can't remember.
All my legends are getting old and not being able to do anything.
I know. It's weird.
I think I have a problem sometimes getting into sports. I think that's why I like college so much is because college is always changing. I know that my favorite players aren't going to stay there. Yeah. So I don't get attached to them, but I get more attached to the actual university.
Yes.
But
the team.
The team in itself, what it represents. But the pros, I mean, I don't really watch pros that much because all my heroes and legends don't play anymore, and I can't really relate to the new generation of players and stuff. So I think that's why I enjoy college more. But that's just me.
Yeah.
I mean, look at every sport. You got NASCAR. I mean, there's no Mark Martin. There's no
Dale Earnhardt. We almost lost a NASCAR legend.
Yeah. Nice try, Hillary. Have you seen that meme?
I just thought it was funny. You thought it was funny they called him a NASCAR legend, which it is funny.
Yeah.
He's legend by name.
That's another podcast. We can talk about Dale Jr. A former Dale Jr. fan is speaking right now. I used to love Dale Jr., but
I used to love racing.
Yeah.
They killed it.
That's another podcast. But, you know, NASCAR, you don't have the people that we loved watching growing up anymore. Baseball, you know, there's no Sammy Sosa, there's no Frank Thomas, there's no Chipper Jones, you know, there's nobody. Changed. Because the free agency kind of changes everything, too. Everybody switches teams so often, you can't get attached to it because obviously you have a favorite team, but then, you know, you finally get to where, like, oh, I really like this guy, and then they trade him away, you know. So free agency's kind of ruined pro for me, which I'm hoping the transfer portal don't do that with college, but – like I said, it's whatever with that. But the just all the sports, basketball, there's no Jordan and Pippen. And just the people that I grew up enjoying watching that made me want to watch it, just I can't. There's nobody like that now.
I am excited for the new NBA season, though.
But they just switch teams so much. It's just it's not enjoyable to me. And plus – the way the game's played now, that's why I like college basketball better than pro, is because it's not necessarily more team-oriented, but it's more traditional basketball in a sense where you're not just running down the court and jacking up threes.
I agree.
That's what the NBA is.
Oh, yeah, it is.
It's everything, all the screens, back screens, it's built to shoot the three.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not exciting to me. I like watching people drive the lane. I mean, that still happens, but to me, it doesn't happen like it did back in the 80s and 90s.
Well, when O'Neal retired, I think it kind of – that was the death of the big man.
Well, I mean, you can't touch anybody anymore.
No, you can't. You're right.
That's another podcast, too, so.
Thanks for listening.
Episode 4 in the books.
Rocket Swamp.
Rocket Swamp Podcast.